All right, in our previous lessons, we've already discussed a lot of really important things. We've talked about some of the foundations of Christianity, about God's unconditional love for us. It's not based on our performance. And we've dealt with things like commitment and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, these things that are essential. In this level two, we want to talk about how do you apply this to your everyday life? If God's already put His life on the inside of you, and if all of these things are here, how do you release it? And one of the things we're going to talk about is that really everything is there. It's a matter of getting rid of the things that hinder the flow of God rather than trying to get God to give you more. You've already received things. Now it's a matter of releasing it. And one of the most important things in releasing the power of God is to understand that it is our own self-centeredness that's really the source of grief in our life. So many of our problems are all self-induced. And I know that that's kind of offensive to people at first when they first hear that, but let me share some things with you out of John chapter 14. I'm going to summarize a few things here in the first part of this chapter, but Jesus was talking to His disciples the night before His crucifixion, just hours before they were to see Him crucified. I mean, this was a traumatic event. These people had given up everything. They'd left their businesses, their families, every goal, every hope they ever had. They were all pinned on Jesus, and here was Jesus fixing to be crucified. And in the midst of this, He starts out in John 14:1 by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." Now, this seems like an unreasonable request. And many people today would say, but if you were one of Jesus' disciples and if you were to see Him crucified, how could you keep but being troubled and brokenhearted through that? Matter of fact, people that are into psychology today would say that you're in denial if you try and suppress these feelings and emotions. And yet Jesus told His disciples not to let their heart be troubled. He said, "You have the power. You let not your heart be troubled." One of the keys to this is found on down in John chapter 14 and verse 28. And He was speaking to His disciples still the same night before His crucifixion. And He said, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved Me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for My Father is greater than I." It would take more time than what I have right here to go into this fully. But what this is saying is that if these disciples loved Jesus more than they loved themselves, then they wouldn't have been grief-stricken to see the crucifixion. They wouldn't have had the turmoil. Their heart would not have been troubled. Really, the source of their grief was self-centeredness. If you stop and think about it, if they were really concerned more about Jesus, if they loved Jesus more than they loved themselves, their reaction to seeing Jesus crucified, certainly they wouldn't have enjoyed it. They would have been a tragic event, but they could have looked at it this way. He had just told them in these previous verses that I am going to My Father. And if they would have really loved Jesus, they could have looked at it this way and said, well, at least Jesus finally is out of all of this rejection and the shame and the ridicule that He's been unjustly subjected to. They could have seen that now He's in the presence of God. And if anybody was ever a righteous man, it was Jesus, and that He was going to be rewarded and comforted. And if their whole heart was focused on just thinking about Jesus, they could have found joy and peace in the midst of even the crucifixion, in between the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection. But the thing that really caused them hurt was the fact that they were thinking about themselves. They were thinking, what about me? If Jesus has been crucified, they're going to be coming after me next. It could be my own life. Or certainly, what about my future? I've identified myself and followed a man who now it looks like he's failed. It was really their self-centeredness that was the source of their grief. And without going into a great explanation, if you would just stop and think about it, it's really what causes grief in our life. If someone we love dies, and if they knew the Lord, we sometimes grieve over that. And yet, if we would stop and think about it, these people are now in the presence of God. They are being ministered to by God Himself. They are in the presence. They're able to see Him. They now have all of the restrictions and the limitations of this life removed. And the truth is, those people are experiencing joy, something that we actually, if we were thinking properly, should be envious of them. But you know why most people grieve? Because the truth is, they're thinking about, what's my life going to be without them? What's it going to be like not to have them around? See, self-centeredness is the source of so much of what we experience. Over in Proverbs chapter 13, there's a verse here in verse 10 that you really ought to look this up in your Bible, because you wouldn't believe this if you don't read it in your own Bible. But in verse 10, he says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Now, that scripture at first looks, many people would take issue with that and say, now, wait a minute. Pride can't be the only thing that causes contention or strife. In Proverbs 17:14, it says that contention is the beginning of strife. And so strife has to be caused by more than just pride. I mean, it's what this person has done to me. Or some people would say it's my personality type. You don't understand. This is just the type of person I am. No, the Scripture says only by pride comes contention. It's not one of the leading causes. It's the only cause. And some people, again, would take issue and say, well, now, wait a minute. I got all kinds of problems, but pride isn't one of them. If anything, I got such low self-esteem that there's no way anybody could accuse me of pride. Well, you have to redefine what pride is. Actually, pride is not just thinking you're better than somebody else, but pride, in its simplest terms, is seeing yourself as the center of everything. It's just self-centeredness is really the root of all pride. And so in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, there's an instance there where Miriam and Aaron came against Moses. That was Moses' brother and sister. And they came against him because of an interracial marriage. And they criticized him, saying, are you the only one that God has spoken by? And the Scripture says there in parentheses that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And he fell on his face. And instead of taking offense at what they had said about him, he began to pray for them and intercede for them. But when it says there in parentheses that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, stop and think about this. That's an amazing statement. We don't know how many people were on the earth, but certainly there was millions of people. Moses was the meekest man out of all of these. And the thing that makes that really amazing is that Moses is the one that wrote that. You know, most people think that if you're truly humble or meek, that you won't even know it. Well, see, that's a false impression of what arrogance is. Pride is not just thinking you're better than everybody else, but it's self-centeredness. It's like having a stick. You know, on one side is arrogance. On the other side is low self-esteem. Those are just two opposite expressions of the same thing. It's all on that same stick. It's self-centeredness. Doesn't matter if you think you're better than everybody else or if you think you're worse than everybody else. You're absolutely self-centered. Everything gets filtered through that. A timid, shy person is a very proud person, self-centered, thinking only about themselves. So the point that I'm making is that self-centeredness is really the root of all pride. And if you plug that back to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, only by pride comes contention, then what this is saying is that it's our own self-centeredness that makes us angry. It's not what people do to us that make us angry, but it's our self-centeredness that causes us to react to what people do. You are never going to be able to stop every person from rubbing you the wrong way. That cannot happen. That's not what faith is for, is to control other people. But rather, faith is so that you can deal with yourself, so that you can deal with the things that's on the inside of you, so it doesn't matter what other people do to you. Just like Jesus, as he was being crucified, was able to turn to the very people who were crucifying him and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't control those other people, but instead he had control over himself. It's that self-centeredness that makes us angry. Jesus was not, he did not come to this earth for himself, but he so loved the world that he came here for us. He turned around and forgave the very people crucifying him. He thought of his mother as he was hanging on the cross and spoke to one of the disciples about taking care of her. And that's the reason that Jesus was able to forgive and operate in love, even in the midst of intense agony, injustice. Everything that came his way is because he was not self-centered. It's our own selfishness that really makes us angry. Yet the Scripture says that we're supposed to be dead unto ourselves. If I had a corpse laying in front of me here today, you know, I could insult the corpse, I could kick the corpse, I could spit on the corpse, or I could ignore the corpse. And if it's truly a corpse, it's not going to respond. The reason that you respond the way you do to the things around you is not because of those things, but rather it's because of what's on the inside of you that makes you respond. You are never going to be able to control everything external. You are never going to get so strong in faith that you could remove all obstacles and everything that'll rub you the wrong way. But you can deal with yourself. You can come to a place to where you make Jesus Lord over your life and you love Him and you love His kingdom and you love other people more than you love yourself. And you'll find out that when you do that, as you deal with self, then you'll find out that this strife, this contention will cease in your life. So one of the great keys, I believe, in beginning to apply all of these things that God has done in your life is to realize that God did not give you the kingdom for selfish purposes. He didn't do these things just so that you could have every need that you have supplied. You need to learn that it's in denying yourself that you truly find out what life is all about. It's in losing your life that you really begin to find what life is all about. It's in loving other people and loving God more than you love yourself that you'll begin to diffuse that anger and that hurt and those things that are on the inside of you. So I pray that today God will take these few things I've said and use them to open up your heart and let you realize that it's our own self-centeredness that causes us the grief. And instead of placing the blame somewhere else, we need to accept the responsibility, face it, and then humble ourselves before God and ask God to come in and make Himself big in our life. That's the way for you to walk in victory.